Welcome to this week's Freedom House podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hallelujah. Father, would you anoint your word very powerfully right now, and would you come and demonstrate something most significant in the house tonight? And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says that the whole of creation is groaning, eagerly and earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for something. The world is waiting for something. We live in one of the craziest times I can ever remember. We live in a time when politically all over the world, stuff's happening that you shake your head. We're watching mentality in generations today with things coming up that 20 years ago we would not have even considered to be mentally sane. The stuff being passed in government, stuff that's so humanistic, stuff that is so far from, so opposite to what the Bible says. It's getting to the place where the people that are seen as the bad guys is those that genuinely love Jesus. We take a stand on the Bible and we're seen as haters. What's the answer on the planet right now? What's the answer? We have had a generation from the, basically in California in the 60s, I was born in 1948, but I was in the School of Art studying to be a teacher, to be an art teacher, studying painting. I was in the painting room in the 60s, and it was a time of sheer madness. California was a huge part of what happened in the 60s to change the world. They're celebrating this year the Summer of Love up in San Francisco when the hippies invaded. And their whole thing was tune in, drop out, get high. That was about it. Just live for now. We had Woodstock. We had here down in Laurel Canyon, we had experimentation with acid, mind control, all sorts of stuff that started in the military and leaked out. And all of a sudden, we're in a society that is getting drenched with acid thinking. The bands, the music groups, the Beatles, they were very much into it. John Lennon claimed to have taken a 1,000 trips on acid. We had a whole generation that music became acid-drenched. And that led into Eastern philosophy and into everything anti-God that you can imagine, until a whole generation is starting to be swept. But the Bible says that there is an answer in this generation. A generation where the thinking, if you say that you actually believe that God created the heavens and the earth, you're seen as a bit stupid. And yet people believe that out of nothing, that little baby came from, with all the potential and all the life and all the little details, just happened. I don't know about you, but to believe that's moronic. To believe that this incredible world with all of its details is a meaningless thing. John Lennon sang, imagine a world, no heaven, no God to answer to, no hell, no need for judgment. Live like Adolf Hitler and you won't be judged. No heaven, just living life for right now. Don't care about tomorrow, don't plan, don't think. No responsibility, nothing to live for, nothing to die for. One of the stupidest songs ever written. One of the stupidest songs. I was a Beatle fan. Lovely tune, stupid words. But we got a generation that has been pulled by the nose, by the media, by television, by everything else. What's the answer? What is the answer? The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are divinely powerful to the demolishing of fortresses. It says, we are destroying speculations, humanistic reasonings, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're bringing every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. There's only, I think, one answer in the world right now. The whole of creation is groaning, waiting for it. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for a demonstration of power. You know, I read in 2 Timothy that in the last days, people will hold a form of godliness but deny the power. Reject the power, turn away from the power. I've watched churches as we've traveled turn away from the power of God, turn away and become so user-friendly that they're afraid that there might be a manifestation of the Spirit of God that's going to scare someone away. Afraid that someone might suddenly come under the anointing of God and get so touched by the power of God that somebody will be afraid and turned off. Or that the kingdom of God will be so manifest that someone with an evil spirit will manifest, that demon will no longer be able to stay. And they don't want that, because it could mess up. And I think today we've got churches full of people that need help. Full of people that need major help. But there's a denial of the manifest power of God. In my heart, I know it's the heart here. God wants us to pursue His anointing like never before. To pursue the anointing of God. To go after it. The whole of creation is groaning. They are eagerly awaiting the manifestation of the power. They're waiting for someone to come, carrying an anointing. They're waiting for someone to come into the midst, moving in the anointing and the power of the Spirit. I don't just want to preach nice messages. I'm sick and tired of preaching nice messages. We're going to churches at different times and they say, oh, don't lay hands on anyone. You think I'm joking? Major churches. Tim, can you just not move in the Spirit? Oh, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. Churches that having an impact but afraid that if something takes place. When Jesus preached in the synagogue, the demons started to scream. Everywhere He went, miracles took place. I think that God is talking to His church and saying, I want you to look again at who you are, at what you carry, what God can do through you, with you, about you. I love what Paul wrote, Ephesians 1. He's writing to the Ephesian church, and in verse 16 he said, I cease not to give thanks for you. I've heard about your faith and I've heard about your love. And he said, but I cease not to give thanks for you, to you, or for you, making mention in my prayers constantly that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimate knowledge of God. I think the thing we need right now, the thing I want more than anything is a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimacy of my relationship with God. Over the years, my favorite thing, and I talk about it in the book, I like to go away into the mountains and stay out there for 20 days or 30 days and fast and pray and get in the Word all day, seeking God. The greatest thing about ministry is not ministry, but it's in the secret place where He fills the wells and digs them deep and puts something in you to give. I talk to people that are wanting ministry. I say, do not seek after ministry. Seek after the power of God, and ministry will track you down and hunt you down. Paul said, I cease not to pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He says, I want to open a different set of eyes. He says, I want you to see who you actually are. We see through these eyes. Faith doesn't come by seeing with these eyes. Faith comes by hearing, because as we hear, it opens these eyes. It's a different set of eyes. We see with these eyes, but the eyes of faith are open to a different dimension. It's a dimension that's unlimited. It is not restricted by man. It's not restricted by man's ideas. It's not restricted by time. It's not restricted by what people think. It's not restricted even by the limitations you put. But when you press in, God opens those spiritual eyes. Suddenly, we are seeing into the dimension of the miraculous. And that's where we want to go tonight. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the Greek word photizo, flooded with divine light, that you might know three things. Number one, what is the hope of your calling? The word hope is the Greek word elpis, which is hope, but it's better translated confident, certain hope. Now, faith is the substance, the hypostasis, the standing under of things confidently and certainly expected and anticipated. He says, I want you to know the expectation, the certain expectation of the things that you are called into. The expectation of this invitation. You've been invited. We've been invited into something that is beyond words. We're invited into something so great, so huge, so magnificent that if described to us, we won't believe it. He said, I want you to see the hope of your calling. And he said, I want you to see the riches. The word plutos in the Greek, overwhelming riches of his glory, which is your inheritance. The word glory is the weight of his copious splendor. He said, I want you to see how I'm going to fill your new building with such glory that people coming off the street will fall out under the power. A few years ago, we had an invitation to go and do a crusade up in Papua New Guinea. The government actually contacted me and said, they said, crime in the city is so bad, would you come? We will pay your air ticket, we'll pay your expenses, we'll pay your hotel, we'll pay for the stadium and the sound system, and we'll pay for your security. And the Deputy Prime Minister was my driver. We went for 5 days. We stayed for 23, about 40,000 decisions. And the power of God came down on that stadium so strongly that people coming in the gate were falling out under the power of God, and they were lying them up on the grass. The whole place came under the anointing. We were in a meeting another night in a tent, and someone ran in screaming and they said, you're not going to believe this. The whole tent is canopied with a cloud. And we ran outside the tent. Everyone ran outside and the place was canopied with a cloud, and deaf ears started popping open and miracles started breaking out. He says, I want you to see the riches of your inheritance in glory. It's yours and the saints. But this is what I want to preach about now. And he says, thirdly, that you might know the unlimited manifestation of divine power. That is us who believe. He uses these words. He said, I want you to know, that's my translation, but the Greek says, that you might know the hupabello megathos, hupa, to throw beyond, hupa, over and above, ballon, to throw, megathos, mega, uncountable. He says, I want you to see the unlimited magnitude of divine power that is towards us who believe. He said, I want you to see tonight, in this meeting tonight, God wants to see that towards us is an unlimited dimension of divine power. And he said, it's us who believe. And Paul says, I better tell you about this power. He says, it's according to the working of his mighty power. According to the working, the Greek word energeia is strong, forceful manifestation. According to the working of his mighty power, the two words there are kratos, which is his dominion, and ischus, which is his forceful strength. He said, I want you to know the unlimited magnitude of the dunamis, the divine power that is usward who believe. But he said it's according to the working, the energetic, mighty working of his dominion and his forceful might. In fact, he says, I want you to know that the power that's at work in this room tonight is according to the working of his mighty power that he exerted into the dead body of Jesus when God raised him from the dead. What's he saying tonight? He's saying that as we come into a meeting like this and we begin to talk about the power of God, we are actually talking about the same power that went through the dead body of Jesus in the garden tomb. And after 3 days and three nights, joints came back into place. The lungs, which were now dead, began to open. The brain that had shut down for 3 days and three nights was so charged with resurrection power that Jesus passed through those grave clothes. And he says, I want you to know that you are living in that power. We can look at the state of America or Australia or the Western world, but God says, I don't want you to look at that. I want you to look at what's in you, because the darker it gets, it's more it's going to shine. The darker it gets, the greater the manifestation. The tougher it gets, the more crazy things get, the more the mighty power and presence of God is going to flow out of us in a limitless way. He says it's according to the working of his mighty power which he exerted in the dead body of Jesus when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, principality, power, dominion, and put all things under his feet, which is the church, the fullness of him that fills all and in all. We are called to be people living in resurrection power. Some years ago, I was preaching in New South Wales in Australia, and as I was preaching, I'd driven 8 hours that day. I didn't want to preach. I did a favour for a friend of mine, and there was a crowd in a hall. It was similar to this meeting tonight. We're in a big hall, and I was preaching, and I'd driven something like 7 or 8 hours. We used to drive old cars in those days as pastors. We had beaten up old cars, and we didn't have much in those days. So we'd go on holidays and stay in some roach-infested place. And we're coming back, and I preached for my friend. And I didn't want to preach, and I was preaching badly. I was preaching very bad. I knew I was preaching badly because I was just wanting to give up and get out of there. And I looked at the people, and they knew I was preaching badly. And they knew that I knew that I was preaching badly, and I knew that they knew. And I thought, I've got to wind this show up and get out of here fast. As I was winding up, I was trying to wind up and get out of it so that there was something positive, and a lady started screaming at the back. I thought, that's all I need. She ran to the front and handed me a little child about 3 years of age and stuffed him to my arms. Now we've got a very bad meeting. No one likes the meeting. I don't like the meeting. The people don't like me. I'm not that thrilled with them. No one likes each other. God hasn't seemed to show up. He didn't seem keen about the meeting. None of us did. And I'm holding a child and I suddenly realized this is not good because this child's dead. The atmosphere is pretty dead. I felt like God had taken holidays with us and hadn't come back yet either. So it felt. I felt very alone out there at the front and all these people. And I said to the crowd, I said, this little boy, he had died 20 minutes before. They tried to raise him with paramedics and they'd run him into the meeting, into me, put him in my arms. I'm holding a dead boy. I said, everybody stand and let's start to shout. I didn't care what they shouted, as long as it was anointed. They could have yelled out McDonald's, Big Mac, with a shake. It wouldn't have worried me. I didn't care what they yelled, as long as it was anointed. I was shouting a very powerful prayer. In Jesus' name, help God. Trying to look anointed at the front. Still trying to keep what was left of this crazy meeting in place. Trying to look anointed. I had a red tie on and a briefcase, a suit. I was using the word God, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Trying to mix it up. Trying to preach with a yes, sir. Glory. Like I was down from Mississippi. Somewhere there. Because they all preach brilliantly down there in the South. Down in the South, they eat the jambalaya and they eat etouffee. And that's right. And the gumbo. I was preaching a lot in New Orleans. Good food down there. My mouth's watering now, I can't preach. So, we started shouting. I'm shouting. Everybody's shouting. This meeting's come alive. I'm holding this little boy. There must have been a little lady at the back, probably a little silver-haired lady. Watch out for them. A little silver-haired lady, she's dangerous. She's the most dangerous person in the church. It's not the pastor or even the pastor's wife. It's that little lady that sits in the corner that no one really knows much about her. She just sits over there, but she's got a Bible that's well read. And she's got a look in her eye that